Good evening. I think we need introductions all the way around. Have one new face tonight. Welcome. You won't remember these names, but you can hear them. Yeah.
And Britt,
what's your?
Andy. Ron.
Sally.
Britt.
Samia.
Chris.
Wendy.
Donovan.
Bob.
Estella.
Angie. We're in just about the middle of a study of time. Dogen Zenji's short fascicle, I think they're called, about time. But before I begin on this one, number five, I would like to talk very briefly about posture. In Zen practice, posture is important. When we study something like this, it's lots of words, lots of powerful and deep and bewildering ideas that have us thinking and feeling our way through. And sometimes we lose the sense of being the body that we are. First of all, before anything else, we're a body. So when Dogen talks about being time, he's talking about this, first of all. So in sitting practice, what we want more than anything is to be freely breathing. In Sanskrit, the word for to be means to breathe. So as we come and sit, we want to sit so that our spine is bending in the places where it likes to bend, which is here at the small of the back, what my teacher used to call a waist bone. And then the shoulders are not thrown back, but just held straight and at ease. The idea is to be straight and aligned and at ease. It sounds simple, but it's pretty hard to do, just as it's hard to keep bringing your mind back to being present. But it's a wonderful and very essential part of this practice. So the alignment is, first of all, lining up your ears with your shoulders. Very simple, but we tend to go like this, and then that hurts our neck and our back pretty quick. Or like this, and that hurts another part. So if you just balance your head on the little bones that they're actually on, and line it up this way, and then your nose and your chin with your navel, then you find yourself being straight with that little curve at the bottom, at the middle of your back, without strain. And then if you hold your hands, the right hand holding the left hand, the thumbs just barely touching, so you have an oval, it brings all the forces of your body, the left side and the right side, the inside and the outside, all of it comes together in this. It's called a cosmic mudra. Very potent mudra. And you rest it against your belly, below your navel. If you're sitting in a chair or on your knees, you can rest it on your thighs. If you're sitting in any kind of cross-legged position, then it sometimes helps to have a cushion and just rest your hands on the cushion. Are there any questions? You want to be...
What would you suggest we do if we have a stiff neck or something?
Work on it. It takes a lot of work. Yeah.
I might adjust it on Sunday, so it's okay now. For about a month.
I have a neck like that, too.
Acupressure.
Yeah. As we get older, we have to keep adjusting. You know, obviously, I'm extremely adjusted at this point. And it's fine. I hope I'm a living example that it's fine to sit in a chair. You don't have to sit on a cushion, though I prefer it. I can't do it anymore. So, but on a chair also, you want to be straight. And there, it depends on the cushion you're sitting on. There are a lot of ways you can work with it. So that it feels comfortable, so you're not leaning back as if you're watching TV, but sitting quite straight and quite at ease, so that everything begins to flow and to go. And of course we collapse. We get tired and we discover that we've collapsed in some way, just as we discover that our mind is spinning stories. And then that's a little enlightenment. Oh, fancy that. I'm way off somewhere. And then straighten up again and become present. It's a beautiful part of the practice because it treats our actual essential body with dignity and respect. It's not just any old thing. This is us. So, number 5 sounds like this. Do not think that time merely flies away. Do not see flying away as the only function of time. If time merely flies away, you'd be separated from time. The reason you do not clearly understand the time being is that you think of time only as passing. In essence, all things in the entire world are linked with one another as moments. Because all moments are the time being, they are your time being. The time being has the quality of flowing. Another translation calls it passage. So-called today flows into tomorrow. Today flows into yesterday. Yesterday flows into today. And today flows into today. Tomorrow flows into tomorrow. Because flowing is a quality of time, moments of past and present do not overlap or line up side by side. Zen Master Kuan-Yong is time. Wang Bo is time. Matsu is time. Shitu is time. Self and other are already time. Practice enlightenment is time. Being splattered with mud and getting wet with water is also time. So he's continuing in the same way as the first 4, and yet beginning to talk about movement. Called it flow or passage, that something moves. Because, of course, it's change. We recognize change. And though time seems to pass for us. He's saying that's only one aspect of time. And that how we study time is to study the time of ourself. This is not a theoretical thing. This is about us. It's about our life. So in Dogen's sense, actually I want to read you this because it's amusing. Heejee Kim, who is the Dogen expert and has written several wonderful books that are very hard going sometimes, said this about this passage here. Said, temporal passage is not a succession or contiguity of inter-epochal holes. I'll say that again. Temporal passage is not a succession or contiguity of inter-epochal holes. It is the dynamic experience of an inter-epochal whole of the realized now, in which selective memory of the past and the anticipation of the future are subjectively appropriated in a unique manner. It's huge words, but the passage of time isn't that whole epochs, epochal wholes, meaning big pieces of time that like this epoch is connected to the epoch of Harry Truman or something. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's a dynamic experience of now as the whole of it, is what he's saying. And we ourselves have a selective memory about the whole of it. We can't experience it intellectually, except in our very sieve-like memory, where we keep the things that we want to save and forget the things that we'd rather not remember. And we create a kind of future for ourselves based on our experience in the present and past, so that we have this sense of a future, although it's all just arbitrarily made up as we think. And of course, time isn't really a thought thing. It's an intellectual idea, but he's talking about time as experience, as being itself. And so, for Dogen, continuity means the whole dynamic of it, all of it happening. All of it happening at once. So time flows, today flows into yesterday, yesterday flows into today, today flows into today, tomorrow flows into tomorrow. So nothing is overlapping. All these famous teachers, he names all the famous teachers, each one is time. Each one is our time. And his time. So Katagiri gets more personal about this when he talks about the flow of time in very wonderful ways. And one of the things he said is he's talking about making effort, because that's how we experience time. And how we experience what Dogen is talking about, experience our being, the depth of our being, not the thought of it, but the actual intensity of life itself. He says, when you forget yourself and put your wholehearted effort into facing every moment, you can do something, and simultaneously you can rest in the continuous flow of life energy. Then you really enjoy your life. So he's talking again about self-consciousness. That if we're busy and very self-congratulatory or self-anxious about what we're doing, we don't actually connect with what we're doing. And it feels like everything is jerky. It doesn't, nothing moves very well. And we've all had the experience when we start to do something and really connect, and the whole thing just opens up in a wonderful way. It, as Dogen would say, it flows. So he's encouraging us to not just stay with our sense of the passage of time, which is very superficial, very helpful, gets us to work on time. But otherwise, if that's the only thing we know about time, we become anxious because we don't know where we are or who we are. The where and who we are is the depth of time that he's talking about. It's what we are when we're forgetting ourselves and just being. Katagiri also said, the universal path is complete tranquility and at the same time constantly flowing. This is an experience of Zazen also. As we deepen our Zazen practice, it can become sometimes very tranquil. And yet, there's a whole dynamic world of us happening at the same time. It isn't one thing or the other. It's just the whole thing happens. The dynamism of our body as it lives and works itself. The heart beating and the stomach doing this and the blood flowing and all the things that happen that we don't even notice hardly. Not to speak of the traffic and the sky and the satellites and the galaxies and the etc. It's a huge, huge universe, and it's only one of many. And yet, in the midst of all of that dynamic, there's a deep tranquility, a deep peace. We can bring that peace to each other. Very important. So I'll say this again because there's more. The universal path is complete tranquility and at the same time constantly flowing. It exists forever, constantly supporting all beings. But to make it something that is alive in your life, you have to do something. You have to touch it directly with full awareness and turn it into reality. This is the same thing as Dogen saying that we come leaping out of emptiness into form. This last thing about mud and getting wet, spattered with mud and getting wet with water, is about our practice as bodhisattvas. In Zen, we're always willing to come back, always willing to be with everyone. We don't practice to get enlightened and get the heck out of here, or to become totally tranquil and kind of bliss out, but to find the place where the tranquility and the dynamism are working together in our own life and use that energy in the best way we know, selflessly pouring our life into our life. That's really what he's talking about here. Are there questions? Edith?
The line of self and other are already time. Can you talk about that?
Well, that self and other is one of those mysteries that we're always trying to address in one way or another, trying to understand how it is. And so he's saying even the mystery of self and other is a part of this whole working.
So does this mean that time is indivisible?
Well, in one sense,
I don't know why I ask this
question. Just to be difficult. Well, it is in one sense, in the other sense we divide it up, and that's what he's saying, you know, that we create our own sense of time as discrete intervals. But that's one experience of it, and the other experience of it is as it all belongs together. So it's not either or.
The reason I asked the question in a way is I sort of experimented with the notion of the diamond cutter, the diamond sutra. They have this metaphor of cutting down the diamond. And they cut it down some more, has a lot of facets.
Yes.
And they keep cutting it down some more, has even more, and cutting it down some more. So that's kind of the way that I. Times I looked at time, but that's why I asked the question, if it gets small enough, if it gets infinitely small, then maybe it, you know, it doesn't exist in some sense, it becomes infinitely large
mm-hmm.
at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, if you try to force these things, it's a kind of electrical.
Yeah.
I'm working with someone, someone's going to add up.
And in the meantime,
it's, you know, minus infinity, plus infinity, minus zero or something, it's not going to work.
Well, yeah, you've got zero in there, right?
But it's just kind of, it could be a trap. You know, do these kind of exercise, mental exercise.
One more cheap idea. Yeah. But it can lead you into.
Well, I kind of like the metaphor of the floor. How fast is it going?
Well, you can remember that when you're in a hurry, trying to get somewhere. That no, not to worry. Yeah. Julie?
Is flow always positive flow?
Depends on what you mean by positive. You mean toward the future?
So can going with the flow lead you to catastrophe, or is it always, or what seems like catastrophe, or is it always just going with the flow leads to success?
We don't know. We really don't know. Sometimes catastrophe, sometimes heavenly realm. In a sense, we don't have any control. We have this much control over our life, but there's an immense lot of it that we simply are noticing what happens in retrospect. You know, we can set a direction for ourselves, an intention, and that's very important. But then we're continually surprised at how it all turns out. It's never the way we planned it, or hardly exactly the way we planned it, because there's so many things that go into each moment. Each moment is affected by infinite amount of energy vectors, you could say, all impacting us and creating our world and our mind and our body, so that we really spend more time being surprised than being sturdily knowing that thinking that we know what we're doing, I guess. We have to feel that we know what we're doing, but we have to also realize that in a lot of ways we don't. And so there's a kind of surrender to life that makes it very sweet and poignant and rich, as we also at the same time try to make our way the very best we can with all that energy I was just talking about. Give ourselves to it as very best we can, but allow for whatever is going to happen.